In February of 2019, the Wall Street Journal called Jeff Mathis as one of the most hotly anticipated free agents in the league. The surprising thing about this is that Jeff Mathis is not only an older player for a baseball player, but he is also a terrible hitter. I mean, terrible hitter. In fact, of all baseball players with at least 2,500 at-bats in the entire history of baseball, there's only been one other man who had a lower batting average than this guy, Jeff Mathis. So why in the world would the Wall Street Journal call him one of the most hotly anticipated baseball players in Major League Baseball? Why would anybody want this guy on their team? I mean, he's an older player. He's in his mid to late 30s. He may have at most 4 or 5 years left in the game. And again, he is one of the worst hitters in the history of baseball. Whenever he's at the plate, his teammates and coaches know that he has less than a 20% chance of getting on base. And yet, this year, the Texas Rangers signed him for 2 years for $6.25 million. This guy who can't hit a lick and is older, as in terms of baseball careers, and yet the Texas Rangers identified him as so important to their team that they signed him for more than $3 million a year. What makes this man so special with all of his liabilities? Well, first of all, it's because he's a catcher. Now, if you don't know a lot about baseball, the catcher is the guy that's squatted down behind the batter by the umpire. And the catcher's job is more than just to receive the ball from the pitcher. He also has to block the ball so the ball doesn't get away when a pitcher throws a bad pitch. He has to be aware of people on base so when they try to steal, the catcher can then throw them out. But most importantly, especially at the elite levels like Major League Baseball, the catcher tells the pitcher what to throw. He squats down. He puts his hand between his legs. He uses his fingers to give the signal to the pitcher, instructing the pitcher on what pitch to throw and where to throw it. You can see him down there, and then the catcher. Is in some ways the most important player on the team, because the catcher, as the batter comes to the plate, the catcher knows that batter. He studied that batter. He knows what the tendencies of that batter are and where his weaknesses are. But the catcher also knows his pitcher. He knows his pitcher very, very well. He knows what his pitcher can do in terms of his strengths and also his weaknesses. No one has a better advantage to see where the hitter lines up on the plate, what pitch he's expecting. And so the catcher is the perfect person in the position to call the game or to tell the pitcher what pitch to throw. And it just so happens that Jeff Mathis, though older for a ball player and though a terrible hitter, is in fact very skilled at calling the game, telling the pitcher what pitch to throw. So skilled at that one issue of the game, so skilled is he, that again, he got this massive contract even at his age, $3 million plus annually. $3 million plus annually with a guy that can't hit. Now, I've played a lot of baseball, and I'm certain that Jeff Mathis has taken a lot of ribbing over the years. I mean, when the dugout, the players in the dugout, see him going to the plate, I can just imagine them lowering their heads, knowing it's going to happen. He has less than a 20% chance to get on base. I tell you all of this because the owner of the team apparently doesn't care that Mathis can't hit. And he has signaled in on the most important parts of the game, and Mathis knows his stuff. Jeff Mathis is a lot like us. He's not the star of the team. He's never going to set any records. He's not going to be on the Hall of Fame, in the Hall of Fame, but he is a very valuable part of his team now because he has a single gift that that team needs. Despite the negative about him, the one thing he does well is something that that team really needs to the point of $3 million plus a year. Now, last time we talked about spiritual gifts, we took note of these points. First of all, the control over spiritual gifts. Secondly, the community of spiritual gifts. Third, the challenge of spiritual gifts. And then fourthly, chief among the spiritual gifts. Let me read in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, just a little repeat from last week so we'll all be on the same page. Verses 1 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that while you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. So a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another person to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So Paul is saying three things in this passage. One, that God has given each of us a spiritual gift. Secondly, that these gifts are individual and distinct for you. And thirdly, that God is the source of all these gifts and that the Holy Spirit gives as he chooses. Therefore, if you are a Christian, it doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian. It doesn't matter what kind of work that you do or how much money that you have or don't have. God has given you, God has given you a spiritual gift. But here's the catch. That gift is not for you. God gave you that gift to help other people. That's point two, the community of spiritual gifts. Let me show you this picture. This picture is of a Lowland Streak tin wreck. He's from the rainforests of Madagascar. Quite a unique-looking animal there. It's pretty neat what God did because in creating this, because genetically, this tin wreck is like a cross between a shrew, a possum, and a porcupine. It's like that God took the head of a shrew, see? He took the body of a possum. He took the quills of a porcupine. And through it all, he created this tin wreck. Now, again, I tell you this because in a similar spiritual way, that is what God has done with us. He has created an interesting, odd-looking organism called the body of Christ. Now follow me as Paul explains this phenomenon of how God himself gives out gifts as he chooses to each of us. And then he tells us that he forms us together so that we create the local body of Christ right here. And he's given you a significant, special, integral gift for this body. Listen as I read verses 12 through 31 of 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes, the human body has many parts, but the many parts, many is M-A-N-Y, many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some Gentiles, some slaves, some free, but we've all been baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable, those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts who have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First are the apostles, second are the prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in an unknown language. Are we all apostles, though? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power for miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in an unknown tongue? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown tongues? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all, and we're going to get to that way of life that is best of all. But in the passages that we read, the entire passage can be summarized by a single word, and that word is interdependence. In essence, the word interdependence means that we depend upon each other. Not that we're dependent on each other, but we help each other together as one body. It's like a brick wall. Each brick has been placed there intentionally in that spot so that it correlates and connects with every other brick on that wall. And this is the temple that Jesus is building, his temple. You and I are a brick or a stone in that temple. And the fact of spiritual gifts means that you are vital and important despite what your gift may be, vital in this body. Look what the wall looks like when you're missing. That's what I feel like sometimes when you're gone. I feel like there's a hole missing, or a hole in the wall, that there is something vital and important that's not here, that's not working, it's not productive. We need you. We need your gift here. We need your presence here. And when you are missing, the rest of us feel like there's a hole in the wall. Listen to Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And then verses 11 through 16. Ephesians 4. Therefore, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Peace is the mortar in the bricks. Keep ourselves together with the peace of God. Where was I? Verse 4. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to the glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now to verse 11. Now these gifts Christ gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work to build up the church and the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will be speaking the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church, and he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You cannot believe the importance of plugging in here and allowing God to use you to minister to this congregation and then outside to lost people. Your gift is vital here. And I will tell you again, you will never be the you want to be. You've always wanted to be. You will never be the believer, the Christian that God has called you to be, led you to be, and is continually moving in your life. You will never be that person until you get on board using your spiritual gifts through this body. It is that important. When I was in high school, we were playing a basketball game, and I had just gotten my first ingrown toenail. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about ingrown toenails, but they're not fun. And so I'm out there on the court. My toe is swollen. I've got cotton and stuff around it. I've got like 12 pairs of socks on. But still, every step I take is pain. It just shoots from my toe and my foot and up into my leg. It hurts. Well, I'm trying to go. I can't hardly run. I can't move. I can't take side steps. And finally, my coach calls me to the bench and he says, "Man, what is wrong with you?" And I said, "Coach, I've got an ingrown toenail." And he said, "Are you kidding me?" And what he was saying was, "Stop being a pansy. Suck it up and get going." And my first thought was, "Dude, you've never had an ingrown toenail. You can't go. You can't keep up." That one toe on one foot shut me down. I sat on the bench for the rest of the game. I couldn't play. One toe on one foot of this body shut the whole thing down. And God has created the church in similar fashion to our physical bodies. And when one of us, even a toe, when one of us is hurting or not functioning, it injures the entire body. It really doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter from where you've come. It doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. What matters is that God has called you here. And he has equipped you in a manner that will serve God through this local body. We need you. We need your presence with us. We need your giftedness. Now, this may sound like a funny sermon being preached to an empty church since we canceled for the weather, and again, bringing COVID into the mix and all the restrictions that we have today. Well, you've got gifts that we need through this church, even in the midst of this. Regardless of the circumstances, I promise that you will never be that me you've always wanted to be. You will never reach the high air of being filled with God's Spirit and peace and rest and motivation and hunger for God. You'll never reach that and be able to walk in that until you let God use you to minister to the church and through the church to others. I will repeat, we need you. We need you on the Lord's Day. We need your ministry through the week. One Sunday in the next several weeks, I'm going to ask you to take a piece of paper and to write down what your dream goal is in this church. What vision has God given you? What hunger, what fire? We want to know. We want to know how God wants to use you in this local body. God bless you. Father, I pray that you will indeed stir within each of us the gift that you gave to us, so that we will be able to move with you and walk in this local body to the glory of God. In Christ's name, amen. You be that person. Let God use you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this Highland Sermon from Dr. Johnny Funderburg. If you live in the Clovis, New Mexico area, we'd love to have you join us one Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located at 2201 North Main Street in Clovis. For more information about our church, visit highlandclovis.com. And to let us know a little bit more about you, choose the Connect tab and click on our online visitor card. You can also submit your prayer requests under the Connect tab. Lastly, follow us on Facebook at hbc.clovis to keep up to date with our announcements, events, and online services.